to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Thank you for a really thoughtful conversation. It's been one of the most thoughtful conversations I've had about the book overall. And so I really appreciate it.
Hey, if it's Monday, guess what? It's We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. We've got Marshall Davis from Davis Sound, who's in the house. Hey, Marshall.
Hey.
How you feeling?
Good.
Yeah, good. Give me a feeling word.
In the house. I'm feeling good, man.
Very good. All right. And we've got a sponsor for this show, like we do every show. Everyone hates doing the books for their business except Sally Doyle. At Absolute Business Solutions, she is a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You are freed up to do the work that you're good at and keep leading. So to set up a consultation, you can reach Sally Doyle in the show notes below at 1-651-208-8151. And just know that she's a profit strategist, so she's going to bring some strategy to the numbers along with the bookkeeping. And she's also an innovative thinker, and I think that that's why she's so well paired up with entrepreneurs because she understands who her audience is. So check her out. You will have a great experience in working with her. So to tell you a little bit more about Marshall Davis, he's the owner of Davis Sound, a Hopkins, Minnesota-based audio production company specializing in audiobooks, corporate and commercial voiceover, and voice recording for music. For audiobook work, Davis Sound has extensive experience in recording, editing, and mastering audiobooks for digital publication through Audible.com and other similar web download sites. Marshall is a nationally known Audible-approved producer with more than 96 audiobook titles completed. Audiobooks can be recorded with the author narrating the book or recorded with a wide range of professional voice actors. Davis Sound works with clients from all parts of the country for audiobooks, corporate, and music voice. And what you learned in the last episode is that Marshall is a producer. So he's not just the technician and the engineer behind the audio and he's there to help you understand the industry that you're in and how to plug into it in a way that will really maximize the recording process and give you a lot of mileage and bigger bucks for the investment that you've put into recording the audio book.
To kind of add on to that, My position in this is really how to fully produce an audiobook.
Yeah.
So it's how to select the narrator, how to
So you work with them on the process?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole process. So right from the beginning in how do you select a narrator? Where do you want the book to be published? Do you want it to go on Audible? Do you want it to go other places? Do you want CDs made? And almost nobody really goes that direction anymore. So it's almost entirely...
Are people even buying CDs?
There's still a CD market.
Oh, there is.
But it is rapidly declining. So you go into Barnes & Noble and you see a whole section of audiobooks that you can buy on CDs. So it still exists, but that market is decreasing. Digital download market is increasing.
Yeah.
And somebody could probably do an extrapolation and figure out where audiobook downloads are going to exceed CDs.
Yeah.
But the download market is a growing market. The CD market is a decreasing market.
Okay.
There are still people who want them, because if you are at a venue where maybe you're an author, maybe you're a guest speaker, maybe you're a corporate executive, and you're giving talks, you want to sell an audiobook at that location, then some people still want physical CDs.
Oh, sure.
So that they have a hard product that they can sell right there on site. One of the publishers that I've worked with, Barrett Kohler, says for one of the books, they were very interested in having that book turned into physical hard copy CDs. So there is a market for it still, but as I mentioned, digital downloads are growing, CD market is decreasing.
Well, and you had mentioned in our last conversation that the audiobook market is like growing over the last 5 years, 30% per year.
About that, yeah.
It's kind of taking the same pace as podcasts.
Okay.
The podcasts are probably growing at a little bit bigger rate, but people are listening in a lot of different ways, along with, you know, watching a lot of YouTube videos. People are really listening to a lot of different types of conversations and stories.
Yeah, one of the things that I found in kind of researching why that is, one of the reasons that listening to stories, whether it's podcast, audiobooks, whatever, listening to something is growing as opposed to reading something, is that, number one, the proliferation of mobile devices like smartphones, podcasts, iPods, you know, anything like that. And even the, I don't know what the generic term is, but like the Alexas and the Siris and all of those things, the talk to it, it responds back to you thing.
Yeah.
So you can stand in your kitchen and say, Alexa, play chapter 22 from book X, and it'll start playing it.
And you can say, play We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you can get Siri to, like, delete the space between we and mentor. That's the latest little trick I've noticed with that.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah.
But anyway, just with all the proliferation of mobile devices and wireless earbuds and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So people are listening to audiobooks everywhere they go.
Because it's so much easier.
It's more convenient.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop what you're doing and pick up a book and read it, or pick up a Kindle and read it. You can just do something else and listen to it.
Yeah.
And so that, plus there's this belief that a lot of people are sort of wanting to go back to listening to stories being told rather than reading stories, simply because of the delivery, the expression, the artisticness of telling a story. People find that very interesting.
Yeah.
And you get more out of listening to a book, especially with character voices, with emotional delivery, with everything like that, than you do reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a lot of reasons why people are going into listening to something rather than reading, whether it's podcast or audiobooks. And I think that's why both of them are growing so much.
Yeah, makes so much sense. Now, in our last conversation, on a personal note, you were kind of sharing with us your journey that you grew up in Portland, Oregon. You were in Arizona for a while.
Yeah.
You ventured to Minnesota with your wife and two boys.
Yes.
And then you guys split up.
Okay.
And then you continued. She went back to Portland, and
yes,
you stayed here and raised your two boys.
Mm-hmm.
And you were at Intel for 30 years.
No, I started at Intel. I was there for 7 years.
7 years.
Went to another company called National Semiconductor for 5 years, and then came out to Minnesota, and I've been pretty much here ever since.
Okay.
And worked for a small startup company called Ciena Technologies for a couple years, and then went to Seagate. And I was with Seagate for 17 years.
Oh, 17 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Great company then. 17 years, there was an end date there.
Yeah.
So was that a launching pad for you moving into your own venture? because you were also, when in your youth, you were part of bands. So there was music, you're a jazz musician and a rock band player. You loved the drums and guitar, and you played a variety of other instruments. So where'd you go from there after you left Seagate?
While I was at Seagate, I got into another rock band. This was one that we played a lot around town. We ended up doing a lot of out-of-state gigs. We did festivals. We flew out to New York and did gigs out there. So we got quite a bit of exposure. The band put out three CDs, and I was on two of them. I wrote a couple of the songs for it. And so that was kind of a big thing for a while. Now, in the process, recording the CDs, that took me back into the recording studios. So I worked with a few different studios, and there was one recording engineer who was exceptionally good. And so I had the wonderful opportunity of being able to sit with him and watch everything that he did. And he would sometimes even explain, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it, things like that.
He was educating you while he was your mentor.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Even though that wasn't really what he was being paid to do, but it ended up that way.
Yeah.
And so I just became so fascinated with the whole recording and editing process. And at some point, after spending like many 12-hour days in the studio, thinking, you know, someday I would like to do this for my full-time life.
Okay.
Is to spend my 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or whatever it is working in a recording studio.
Oh, so you started imagining that.
This was probably late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
So then I had an opportunity to work with a Grammy-winning producer in New York on a recording project with a woman that I had worked a lot with, who was a fantastic songwriter and singer.
Mm.
And so we went out to New York, and I got to watch the entire process by a Grammy-winning producer.
And
learned an enormous amount, especially how to record vocals.
Yeah.
And so with all of these different things coming together, it's like it just drove me even more to want to have my own business.
Okay.
So while I was still at Seagate, I acquired a fairly large amount of recording equipment, started up a part-time business, and that was sort of when Davis Sound began as a part-time business, working evenings and weekends, recording some friends and that wanted to do whole music CD projects and everything. So music recording was really kind of the whole thing I did. And was just having an absolute blast with it.
Oh, nice.
So after doing that for about 4 years, the opportunity came up to take what Seagate called an early retirement package, which was basically saying, we'll give you a whole lot of money if you want to leave. And I decided that I think I want to do that. Now, during that process, back in 2004, I had married the woman that I'm with now.
Okay.
So we've been together 15 years.
Nice.
15 wonderful years.
Okay.
And so we collectively decided, should I do this? Do I want to do this? Does it make sense to do this? And through a lot of discussions, ultimately decided, yes, I want to do this. So I took the package and took Davis Sound as a full-time business, turned it into an LLC, and began my venture of having a full-time studio as my day job. So then I thought, okay, besides music, what else can I do with a recording studio? And because I didn't want to be totally dependent on music. Being a musician for a good part of my life, I knew that that's probably not a safe thing to assume I can do. So then I started looking at commercial voiceover work, started looking at anything that I could do.
Yeah.
Met a woman who was an editor. And actually, prior to that, after I started the part-time business, somebody came to me and said, could you record an audiobook for me? And I said, I have no idea how to do that, but yeah, I'm sure we can figure it out. So yeah, I'll do it. So I did an audiobook. Probably wasn't the best job that I ever did, but it worked. It was published.
Yeah.
And so really, probably 3 years later, I met this editor. And I told her that I had a full-time recording business and I did music and was trying to get into corporate stuff and various things. And by the way, I had done an audiobook. And she said, I have a lot of people for you to meet. Hmm. And that was kind of the beginning. And so person A introduced me to person B, who introduced me to people, persons C, D, and E, and it just spread from there.
Oh.
I got introduced to authors. I got introduced to voice actors. I got introduced to all kinds of people, and ultimately was introduced to Audible.
Oh.
So by 2013, I had ventured into the wide world of audiobook recording. Still not quite sure exactly how I was doing it or learning as I go. And it's just been an uphill growth ever since.
Wow. Wonderful. It's got some turns to it, and I mean, lots of different aspects to it that are very engaging. I can see that you're really enthused about it.
So I did have many, many years of experience of recording in a studio, being on the other end of the sound wall, and had also worked with some very good people in how to record and how to edit. So I had some really good technical training from people who do it for a living.
Yeah.
And then...
So that allowed you the skill set that you needed to make it on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then audiobook recording and just solo voice recording is a little different than music recording. So it took a while to try and figure out what microphones do I use? What kind of sound baffling do I need? LinkedIn was a tremendous source of information. And I joined several LinkedIn groups and asked a whole lot of questions and looked at what other people were doing and things like that. So I learned a lot from that as well.
Okay.
And so between all of these things, plus my strong desire to say, yes, I want to make a successful business of this.
Okay.
Then I really learned the voice recording business and the audiobook business.
And you also go out and you have some speaking engagements as well.
Yeah. I've done talks for Midwest Independent Publishers Association. I've given talks for Sisters in Crime, a lot of book organizations. I've done book fairs. I've done a number of things. Have over the years refined my PowerPoint presentations, that type of stuff. And also just with the experience of people I've worked with.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of good stories to tell.
Yeah. That's so exciting. And how do people, what's the role of can you tell us a little bit more about the process for an author of their role as an author, and how do they really, outside of selling themselves, mm-hmm. are there different avenues where they can generate income?
Yes. So these are some things that authors will always need to know and some decisions they need to make. Number one is, do you want to do an audiobook? And as we talked in the last session, if you want to do an audiobook, you better plan on marketing it, because it's not really cheap to produce an audiobook.
Right.
And so if you're going to do it, you probably want to be committed to it.
Yeah, and you want to make sure that you figured out how you can capitalize on the investment.
Yeah.
And how much you need in order to, the rate of return on the books.
So the other question is, who do you want to narrate it? And in most cases, it's better to have a professional voice actor do it. But in some cases, as we discussed before, it makes sense for the author to narrate their own book.
Well, and I like how you've got your website set up, is that people can actually hear some of the voices, talents, so that they can get a feel for the type of book or voice behind their book. And so don't you hire the voice talent?
Yes.
Isn't that part of your producing service?
Yeah. So actually, I should probably back up a little bit. There's two ways that people, for digital download and getting an audiobook on Audible, which is not the only one, but it's the biggest.
It's through Amazon, right?
Through Amazon, yeah. It's the biggest distributor.
Yeah.
They don't want to call themselves a publisher. They're really more of a distributor for distributing digital content. So the two ways are that a lot of people go royalty-based, and a lot of people go with what's called pay-per-performance, or a more generic term is work for hire. Now, I only do pay-per-performance. I don't do royalties. And there's a couple of reasons why. With royalties, the way it works is the narrator records the book, gets it into Audible, gets it released, and then the narrator slash producer, sometimes it's two people, usually it's one, and the rights holder, whether it's an author or a publisher, they split the royalties. So it's like half and half. What I've found from my experience of working with various people and looking at what is out there, talking with people who have done both, an author, if they have a book that's going to sell and if they're going to really get out there and market it, they're going to make more money in the long run by paying an upfront cost for production and then taking 100% of the royalties.
Yeah.
If you go royalty-based and you have a really good book and you're going to sell a lot of copies, the narrator is going to make a lot of money. More than, well, as much as the author will. So people who have really good books that want to get the most money for the distribution, they're going to go paying the upfront cost first. The people who generally go with royalties, and this isn't entirely, but this has been my experience of who I've talked to, a lot of people who go with royalties do so because they don't have to pay the upfront cost, and they're not dependent on their marketing. They're not dependent on how many books they sell to try and pay off a production cost. So they go with royalties. Now, the other factor in that is that if you're a narrator, you want to get paid for what you do.
Yeah.
So you want to get in with people who are going to make money selling books.
I see.
The narrators, and there are hundreds if not thousands of them out there, that want to be narrators, they will take royalty jobs for the experience to make a little money, and they figure, well, if they can get 30 or 40 royalty jobs, then maybe they make $50 a month on each one, but then, you know, you get 30 or 40 jobs out there, then eventually the money starts adding up.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot to get to that point. And so they're just cranking them out as fast as they can. So I have made the decision not to go that route. I want to produce fewer but much higher quality audiobooks. And I want to be able to pay professional voice actors what they deserve to make, for them to be able to make a living.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's really my reason for going pay-per-performance.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the people I work with are mostly the ones who are really going to get out there and do it. So it works for both of us.
Right, exactly.
But for an author who's just getting into it, those are the two options.
Okay.
Is you can go royalty or you can go pay-per-performance.
And is there any other places that they can sell their audiobooks outside of audible.com?
Yes. There are people who are setting up their websites to be able to sell them directly on their website.
Okay.
Now, with Audible, they have, this is another thing, another decision authors want to make, is there are two types of contracts. There's exclusive and there's non-exclusive. An exclusive contract, they get 40% of sales. A non-exclusive, they get 25% of sales. So if they really want to be able to sell their audiobook somewhere other than Audible, then they may want to go with the non-exclusive. And I'm working with somebody right now that thinks he's going to sell probably most of his audiobooks at actual events where he's there physically to sell them. So he will go with a non-exclusive. But as happens with a lot of people who are authors or anybody in that kind of a field, if they want to drive everybody to their website, they can just as easily drive everyone to Audible. And if they have no other reason not to drive everybody to Audible, then it makes better sense to have an exclusive because you're going to end up making more money on it.
Yeah.
So there are drawbacks, pluses and minuses to each one of those.
So if you are selling your book through Audible, but also you want to sell it on your site, you have to sign a non-exclusive?
I believe that's correct, that if you're selling it on your own site, you're doing commerce, you're selling them outside of the Amazon system.
Yeah.
So therefore, I think you'd have to check with Audible to be certain.
Okay.
But yeah. I believe that if you are selling it anywhere else, then you'd have to do a non-exclusive.
Okay.
The other contingency that authors need to understand is that in order to get a book into Audible, which is an Amazon business unit, they also have to have their print or ebook on Amazon. So they can't do an audiobook through Audible without having Amazon sell their regular book.
I see.
So some people don't like that, but that's the way they work.
Yeah. They're doing business how they want to do business.
And they are the most successful at it.
Right. All right. Well, that was really great information. Are there any other key points that authors should be thinking about, critical information? It sounds to me too like having a really good, that's why I wanted to bring you to the audience, because I think you're a solid person. You've got a lot of experience in this area. I like that you're a producer, along with having the technical expertise and the engineering background. And you've got a studio that's set up for really great sound.
It is set up specifically for voice recording.
Yeah. So you've got a whole list of quality people that you work with. And so I just think that adds the value of the experience if you're going to go this route and it's the first time that you're getting the audiobook produced, that you want to do it with somebody who, will not take advantage of you. And I feel that, you're not that guy.
I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy.
I just thought of one other thing that is an advantage of having me do it versus any other recording studio.
Sure.
Is that because I'm an Audible-approved producer, one of the ways I get that is through a certain amount of experience and certain number of books and everything, but also I understand all of the technical aspects of what Audible looks for in terms of bit rate, sampling rate, streaming rate, format, lead-in time, lead-out time, a normalized volume, all the technical details I've got completely set up specifically for Amazon requirements.
Yeah.
In fact, every so often I'll do a project for an author who recorded their book somewhere else. It didn't pass the QA process in Audible. They send it to me. I know exactly what the problem is. I can fix it. I get it back to them. They're good to go.
Yeah. We looked at that, and that's really... meaning Mike Bay and I, were looking at, the costs of Audible and what are the requirements. And you're right, it's very, very specific.
It is very specific.
Yeah.
I know what all the specifications are and I have all the tools to do it.
Absolutely. So why go anywhere else?
Yeah. Right.
Great. All right. Well, this is... It's been a delight. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you and your generosity. And I really appreciate that you're willing to educate people along the way. That's
part of the process.
Yeah. And you seem to really enjoy it. Is there anything else that you would like to say before we head out?
I think one more quick thing is that when the project is done, you have all your files, then authors say, now what do I do?
Oh, yeah, right.
So there are a couple of different ways. I actually don't set up Audible accounts. That's not part of what I do. I'm not a rights holder. I don't deal with ISBN numbers and all that stuff. So what I can do is point people to the technical individuals within Audible to help them figure out how to get the help to do it. The other thing is there's a local publishing company called Wise Inc. Creative Publishing.
Oh, yeah.
They have opened up service to Wise Inc. and non-Wise Inc. authors to say, for a fee, we will do the whole process for you. We'll get the artwork set up. We'll get all the files uploaded. We'll get your page written. We'll get everything ready for you, turn it over to you, and then the author can take it from there.
Oh.
Wise Inc. is another work for hire, so they don't deal with royalties. They don't take percentages of anything. They just do it strictly as a service.
Are there quite a few authors that you've worked with who have had their books published at Wise Inc.?
I have gotten a couple of authors from Wise Inc. And Wise Inc. has also created the Audible accounts for several authors that aren't necessarily Wise Inc. authors, but they've done it as a service. So that number is rapidly growing.
Okay.
So they do a really good job.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for those extra tips. Everybody, I encourage you to kind of check out Davis Sound. They're easy to find. He and Marshall's worth we're working with. He's a busy guy, but he has time for good clients. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for this experience. Very good. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks Marshall for being here.
Well, thank you.
And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère. And I'll have some to-dos in the show notes for some mentoring tips. Got to keep people focused in on doing the work that they're meant to do. So we'll see everybody next week and keep doing what you're doing.